You're listening to On Design on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. In each episode, we profile a person, survey a place, or unpick an idea that's changing or challenging the design industry today. This week, our topic is pants. Ben Ryland, host of Monocle 24's cinema show, tells us about the evolution of the men's brief.
These are the 90s, man. They just fit good and they hold me snug, so if I'm about to go get some skins, I'm not going to put on, like, no silk underwear.
Did men's underwear, as we know it, start with an almost naked Marky Mark bragging about his tighty whities for Calvin Klein way back in 1992? A tempting story, perhaps, but the story of the men's brief stretches back a little further and involves a jetliner, a men's bikini, and even a white tiger. Have you ever explored the streets of an old city paved in cobblestone on the back of a bicycle? Aside from giving things a bit of a beating below the belt, it can also quite literally leave a man's knickers in a knot. We may chuckle now, but that was the dilemma faced by the bicycle delivery boys of old Boston, Massachusetts. One can only imagine the discomfort experienced by generations of men before one Mr. C.F. Bennett came up with an ingenious, though very simple, solution. Bennett envisioned a tight pair of shorts that kept everything in the front out of harm's way while leaving everything in the back, well, out. But unlike existing forms of apparel, Bennett did away with the unnecessary bits, placing all of his focus instead on the support. And the jockstrap was born. For nearly 150 years, Bennett, or his bike athletic company, were one of the leading manufacturers of the sports undergarment of choice. Yet, while it was for many years the only men's underwear offering fitted support, it was rarely considered an option for everyday wear. In fact, many consumers considered the term jockstrap to be socially unacceptable. Despite its inferior functionality, the boxer short continued its reign. Nearly 40 years later, apparel engineer Arthur Needler was hard at work at the nearly bankrupt Cooper's Underwear Company in Michigan. The Great Depression had shattered the state's manufacturers, and Cooper's looked like it might be the next casualty. Then a postcard arrived on Needler's desk. It had traveled all the way from the French Riviera. And, as well as reminding poor Arthur of how much he'd appreciate a sunny break, it gave him a striking idea. Pictured on the postcard was a handsomely built, athletic man, enjoying the sun and sand of France while wearing not the clumsy bodysuits of the early 20th century, but a proud bikini-style ensemble. This was Niebler's eureka moment. He set to work designing the prototype for what he considered to be the perfect men's undergarment. The initial design featured seams above each leg, running up to the elastic waistband, ensuring ample support for the wearer. However, unlike the jockstrap, Niebler's design came with a front and a back. Casting out any notion of the then-dominant big flappy boxer short, Niebler consulted with medical specialists and performed a year's worth of tests before the very first brief went on sale at Chicago's Marshall Field department store in 1935. All 600 pairs were completely sold out within just 3 hours. Orders were flooding in. The following week, 12,000 pairs made their way around the nation. The company was forced to charter an aircraft to keep up with distribution demands. With their jetliner in tow, now known as the Masculiner, the Cooper's Underwear Company was rapidly revolutionizing men's underpants. Women's attire had for years relied on shapely forms to sell an image of femininity, but the image of a man was one of clear-cut angles. The success of selling the brief lay in convincing men that support down below was a masculine pursuit. And it worked. Later that year, Coopers released the very first evolution of the brief, with the introduction of a flap that allowed for, in the company's words, improved masculine access. The Y-front, as it's known, altered the garment's support mechanism with a simple yet immensely clever piece of engineering.
Ever wondered what the well-dressed man wears next to his skin? That man there, say. Excuse me, sir, would you mind a, oops, as you'd expect, jockey. Thank you, sir. You always feel completely at ease in white jockey, the world's biggest selling underwear.
The instant popularity of the brief was propelled as much by practicality as it was by savvy marketing. Coopers, soon to be renamed Jockey, delicately avoided offending sensitivities of the era by creatively promoting its product. From friendly, if only slightly suggestive, illustrations of half-dressed gentlemen of the 1950s to a somewhat bizarre photo shoot involving a staged wedding and outfits stitched together from pieces of cellophane. The Masculiner may have flown its final delivery decades ago, but its cargo continues to evolve. Jockey's waistlines were much lower by the 1970s, with a range of fashion underwear seemingly inspired by fishnets. In the 1980s, Mike Tyson was famously captured wandering the grounds of his mansion in his white briefs, playing with his pet white tiger, before a young Mark Wahlberg brought the briefs into the 90s and, with a little help from Calvin Klein, made it okay to wear your waistline above your trousers.
Shouts goes out to my man Calvin Klein, good looking out for the drawers. Not saying I would do another Fruit of the Loom commercial or nothing like that, because they don't make the hype shorts. These are the 90s, man.
Today's briefs come in all manner of shapes, sizes, colors, and fabrics. Perhaps too many. A Calvin Klein sale can be harder to navigate than your average New York Times crossword puzzle. Cotton stretch, intense power, tech fusion, power red. One wonders what Arthur Niebler might have made of today's top sellers. Thankfully, Jockey still sells the classic Y-front, while other retailers, such as Arket, also see the value of simple, classic, clean lines. Or, as Arthur Niebler put it, comfortable and masculine support. For Monocle, I'm Ben Rylan.
A very special thanks to Ben there for that report on the Humble Gentleman's Brief. You can hear more from Ben on The Cinema Show, which goes out every Wednesday at 8 p.m. London time. You've been listening to On Design, a Monocle 24 production from the team behind Section D. You can listen to the full half-hour show on Tuesdays at 1900 London time, or download the podcast anytime you like. And remember, if you can't wait, there are always more delights to uncover in the design pages of Monocle magazine. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.